Before we sit, just one more time from the beginning of the book of Job. Oh, that my words were written down, says Job. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. To God, all-loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are coming to the end of what we're calling our Fall of Feasts, where we have had one celebration after another at St. Dunstan's, and I'm sure you're all sick of cake and of singing and all of that, but this is still part of the Fall of Feasts, and it's a bit strange to be celebrating something that is so very sad, to be celebrating, to gather together and remember those who have died. All souls, all of God's children who have died. It's a sad thing, right? Does anyone know someone who has died? Right. Every single one of us, right? It's a sad thing. Another sad thing we face as humans, and I think it's related, is this thing called loneliness. I wonder if anyone's ever been lonely. I've been lonely. There was a study done a couple of years ago in the United Kingdom, and so it reflects the United Kingdom for sure, not our part of the world, but I bet that there are some connections. So if you turn to page 3 of your bulletin, we're going to just read some of these statistics. It's beginning in the first bullet point there. Did you know that in the UK, over 9 million adults are often or always lonely, according to the British Red Cross? 9 million. That's just in the United Kingdom. Loneliness. 43% of 17 to 25-year-olds experience loneliness. 50% of disabled people are lonely on any given day. 52% of parents have had problems of loneliness. 1 in 3 people aged 75 and over say that feelings of loneliness are out of their control. 8 out of 10 carers have felt isolated as a result of looking after a loved one. And then I did find one statistic in Canada, though there was an observation where I found the statistic that Canada has yet to do a review or a report like this, but I imagine that it might be helpful. But at least on this site, on CBC, it says 1 in 5 of Canadians are lonely. Loneliness. Why are people lonely? Why do I get lonely? Why do you get lonely? Well, there are a number of reasons, right? There's no one reason. Some of us might get lonely because we're sick, and so we feel isolated because we are either confining ourselves to our home over a long period of time, or we don't want to infect anyone, so we are purposely isolating ourselves. Sickness can cause loneliness. I wonder if you've ever experienced that. I wonder if you know someone who has experienced that. Death. Death can lead to such loneliness and isolation. Because grief is an overwhelming power sometimes that just shrouds us in cloud and in fog and makes us think that we are all alone. Anxiety is something I deal with. Anxiety makes people feel lonely. Fear. A sense that no one cares. And then our own woundedness, our own hurts in relationships and families. So we can't reach out, we can't connect to others because we've done that before and look what it's done. So we're lonely. Loneliness. Loneliness. What a real thing for us human beings. Now there's a difference between loneliness and solitude, I think. Have you heard of this word solitude? Solitude, I think, is something we as followers of Christ are called to get a sense that our well-being, our character, our personhood is not dependent upon any other factor, but just the connection we have with God. And I see solitude all the time when I see my little ones playing Lego. Like they are in a zone, they are happy to be by themselves, they are constructing something, they are being faithful to themselves. And then I also see when they're done playing with Lego and they look around and it dawns on them that they've been in this world by themselves for maybe an hour or two and they want to know where Daddy is. Because suddenly that solitude has turned into loneliness. It's a difference. And I pray that we all can get a sense of solitude, of integrity, of being able to have an identity that's not dependent upon the ups and downs of our neighbors, our friends, and our emotions, our feelings. But still, when solitude is over, I wonder if you feel lonely. There's a Christian response, I think, that we can have to loneliness, and I think it's related to the Christian response that we can have to death and dying. And it's called visiting. Profound, hey? It's called taking time out and looking to see who's around you and saying hi. A great Christian spiritual practice. I want to look at Job for a second as our example. Job. Are we familiar with the story of Job? Job was a person who just had everything going for him. Nothing was wrong with Job until one day everything was wrong with Job. Okay? And we can go into the story of why everything was wrong with Job, and I think that's a good thing to go to, but I'm not going to go into the why everything went wrong with Job, because I think sometimes we might get too stuck in that, even for ourselves. We ask the question, why has everything gone wrong? And we get kind of in a loop of crazy, right? A loop of, oh my goodness, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? What has someone else done? What has someone else done? What has someone else done? Let's not go there today. We'll go there some other time. But just for the purpose of today, Job had everything going right one moment and everything go wrong the next moment. And he was isolated from family and from friends. And in his heart, from God. And then something extraordinary happened. Poor, lonely Job, who was sitting there covered in ashes and just so very sad, had some friends come over to visit. And I bet it was a wonderful thing when he saw on the horizon those camels coming. And when his friends got off, I'm sure they offered him a cake or two. And they sat down, it says in Scripture, we read in Scripture, they sat down in a circle in silence. What a great thing to have Job experience. A group of friends who come, maybe offer a gift, and sit there and just be present in silence. Thank you, Job's friends, for 30 seconds. Because what happens is Job's friends, unfortunately, and this probably happens to us, when we go meet with our friends who are in need, they open their mouths. And they're going to tell Job why they're in the situation they're in. They're going to say you had one too many pickles. They're going to say you smoked too much when you were younger. They're going to say you drank too much. They're going to say you weren't kind enough to your children. They're going to say you made this mistake, you made that mistake, your investments, you're wrong, your relationship, your view of God is wrong. How dare you, Job? No wonder you're in this mess. Oh. Visiting. Visiting can be such a wonderful gift for those who are lonely and suffering and feeling isolated from others, and it can also turn into just a really long book in the Hebrew Scriptures. Where Job's friends are chastising Job one second, and Job, now lonely old Job, has to stand there and defend himself. So like real life. How we approach others who are in need and who are lonely. If only you do this. If only you do that. David says, my sisters, you need to exercise more. David says, my mother, you need to eat better. David says, my friends, you need to get out more. Yes, I know. Thank you very much. And yet I'm still lonely. I wonder if in this little excerpt from Job, oh, that my words were written down, we might see a response that we as followers of Christ can have when we meet with someone who's feeling lonely. And I also wonder if we who are lonely might be able to see something, to grab hold of something in our loneliness. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, cries Job. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. I wonder if we who are visiting, like Job's friends, without taking the time to correct, chastise, and recall to that person's mind just how terrible they are, if we might just take for a time and just for a moment read the book of their life. Listen to them. Listen to them complain. Listen to them be angry. Listen to them be sad. Listen to them go through the wide spectrum of emotions that we as humans have and just listen. Read the book of their lives. Take it in. Give people a chance to speak, to say how they're feeling without the immediate response that we have to jump in and say, oh, but if, oh, if only. No, hold that back, hold that back. Take Thumper's mother's advice. If you haven't anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And then for those of us who are lonely, those of us who feel isolated, that yes, we do have a little bit of a responsibility. We have to be willing to speak out about how we're feeling. We have to be willing to open that part of our heart, that risk of letting people in to see why we're so sad and we're so lonely. And it's scary. But if we can trust that the people who are circled around us aren't then going to start pointing fingers and blaming us and accusing us, then maybe we'll be a bit easier for us to open our hearts and confess that we are lonely, that we are isolated, that we are sad, that we are scared, whatever it is we need to confess. And then I wonder, as Job writes, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side. Oh, I loved how you emphasized my side there, Corinne. That was so well done. On my side. I shall see God on my side. I think for Christians, we need to practice two things when it comes to people who are feeling lonely and isolated. And the first one is that we need to be God to them. When they see us coming, they need to see good news. They need to see love and presence. We need to be their Redeemer. We need to show them that their Redeemer lives through us. We need actually to be God to them. Because when we are God to them, when we become God to them, then that's when they're able to see God. The God even beyond this thing. The God who energizes me and gives me life and hope and the reason why I would reach out to someone in need. We need to be God so that people can see God. We need to show people God so people can know God. This is going to get silly in a second if I keep rhyming. But if we dare to walk to someone in need and actually act like God to them, then we who are lonely and inwardly focused will have something happen to us, and it's called resurrection. It's called new life. We'll have our hearts broken open, And once again, we'll see that there our Redeemer lives and that our God is on our side. And even though my flesh is destroyed, I will still see God, who is my strength and my Redeemer. I would like to read a poem that was written by a member of our community meal on Thursday, and it was read on Thursday, wasn't it?
No.
We shared it. It wasn't read out loud, it was shared the one on Thursday. On Thursday, we feed a number of people who do feel isolated in life, a number of people who feel like no one cares, a number of people who are hungry. This was written by someone named David. It's called The Ladder of Hope. When I was hungry and down on my luck, I reached out to them, to those I could trust. They offered to me a book I might read to get back on my feet, and it planted a seed. They said, come to this place where hungry folks gather and sit in with us, first step on the ladder of hope, which all of us climb to get to the top, leave troubles behind. I may not reach the top, for slowly I step, but if I do, all promises kept. Here is a poem written by someone who was visited by God's people, who were God to him. And in that visit, this person's heart was opened up and he began to see hope, a ladder to climb, a way out. And may it be true for all of us who are lonely. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. Amen. As we're able, would you please stand?